As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Oh, hi there. I'm Gregor. Thanks for finding us here on the Odyssey app. We appreciate you so much. Bad news. COVID has torn through the program, and unfortunately, we're taking this week off, so we're re-airing last week's, and because you didn't hear it then, you get to hear it now. All right, let's go. Nerd Talk Plus. Thanks for joining in. We really appreciate you.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier, or at least make me giggle from time to time. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm Gregor, and he's been a managing editor at Odyssey. Now he's just selling Brandon's beef. He's Brandon.
Nah, he does dude, I'm giving it away for free.
Well, never mind. I won't be mean. neither of us is a scientist, engineer, supervillain, mentally stable. But if you are, let us know what we get wrong and preferably what we get right. If you tell a friend. Yeah.
I feel like we don't even have to tell people what we get wrong. I feel like we just end up, like my brother, one of our listeners, will just be like, hey, that thing that you were talking about? No. It's like, how do you know? He's like, well, I Googled it, unlike you.
Well, here's the deal, is that we show up with a story, and then we know just the basics about it, right? And then we just talk about it to try and figure out where we can go with it. And yeah, we're going to get it wrong a lot of the times, but it's the power of conversation and deduction that's helping us here, I think. So,
yeah, of course.
And look, neither of us is a journalist. I mean, you're trained, but neither of us is a journalist, scientist, engineer, supervillain.
Not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we got right. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Right. I like that better, yeah.
Tell a friend, write a review if you're listening to this on demand, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
Yes, this episode's question of the week is, if you were going to die, which you're going to, what kind of monument would you want named after you when you're gone?
This is a great question. I really like this.
Like, you're in a park, right? And when I say monument, like anything, what do you want named after you? Like, you go through a park and you see a bench. Like, I was doing this the other day. I walked through a park and there's like a bench dedicated to some dude. And it's like, well, you know, cool for that bench for you.
I want your new tattoo on your arm dedicated to me when I die, okay? I want you to add my name to it. This is the Greg, my last name is.
The Greg Whale.
Memorial Whale.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? You know what this week's question of the week part do is what's root beer?
We'll get to that here in a second because I'm really interested in that as well.
Yeah.
Before we jump into root beer or insect necrophilia coming up, I've got a question related to something that happened to us on last week's show.
Okay.
I want to know if that didn't make the cut, rather, for last week's show. I want to know if I'm the a-hole for seeing the brilliant space photos and trying to convince myself not to care because of the sheer impossibility of it ever being a thing that we more than just look at. For example, the James Webb Space Telescope that everyone's super pumped about identified a planet outside our solar system, one of its main goals, that they say has clear traces of water in its atmosphere. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty sweet. let's ship Elon there and then leave him. But then you're like, oh, it's 1,100 light years away. And if you dusted off a space shuttle, for instance, at whatever speed it goes, I can't remember, 17,000 miles per hour or whatever, and it went there, it would only take you something like 400,000 years until arrival.
Seems long.
And I'm like, well, let's try sending Elon anyway, just to see what happens.
Well, we know what will happen.
But like, that's like a place that we think we could maybe, there's like a chance that it could turn out good for us.
I have a question. So, yeah.
Thanks for raising your hand, by the way.
you're welcome. With light years and distance to travel, right? Like, we know that that planet is 1,100 light years away, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like as the space crow flies, right?
So as
like
the wizard bird flies.
As the wizard bird flies, it's 1,100 light years away. Okay, so I just know that I don't feel like this gets talked about a lot in any of the space shows/movies or things like that. That part of the reason that they claim that it takes a while to fire something up into hyperspace, right, is because it has to calculate the navigation in order to when you enter hyperspace to travel, you know, millions and millions of light years, you don't want to run into like planets and asteroids and crap. So it has to plot a clear route through space in order to do that. Now, space is like vastly empty to mm-hmm. begin with, right? It's called space. There's space there. But like, if that planet that's 1,100 light years away, I would imagine there's got to be like something in between. Like if you're going to get in the shuttle and go light speed and you're going to just blast through it with Elon as your co-pilot, like a hairless Chewbacca.
And get there in 1,100 years.
And get there in 1,100 years because you're only going light speed, which we haven't been able to even attain. Maybe a few small things, like a tiny little asteroid just is like a bug on the windshield, right? Like, it makes no difference because you're going so dang quick. But like, a planet is going to be different, right? Like, you're just going to get obliterated through that, right?
So a couple things. One, this is just on a smaller scale, just on our solar system scale. If you travel between here and anywhere outside of Mars, let's say, the scientists don't even really calculate in the asteroid belt. There's this misconception that it's like this big thing that you have to like Han Solo through in Empire Strikes Back to avoid smashing into stuff to get away from the Empire, right? The asteroid belt, all of the asteroids combined are something like 1/4 the size of our moon.
Oh, wow.
And so if you spread that out on a path that would take 2 Earth years or whatever to get around the sun, it's very little material. Like you say, you get it wrong, though, and it's a big bummer, right?
Yeah, you'd hate to be like the guy that like everybody else is calculating. You're like, it's only 1/4 of our moon. Blast it. And then you just end up dead.
Now, the other thing about calculating cosmic travel like that is doing the math is like there's a pull to create gravity. There has to be at least 2 objects because it's a center point between the 2 sets of mass. And so when it's a giant Earth and a small moon, that center point is just outside of our own core. And so the moon goes around us. We don't go simultaneously around one another. We're not like a twin body system. We are, but it's like one main body and the other one is trapped in our gravity well.
Funny enough, that's like a common description of this podcast as a twin body system.
Neither of them very good, to be fair, though.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, it's like just, I mean, you've jumped way too far into the details as far as I'm concerned, because the hopelessness of 400,000 years with not our best technology, but like some of our best in the last 50 years is like, well, there's no point until we figure out how to put. So I started learning about like how quantum physics works a little bit. And like,
casually.
I don't understand. I mean, yeah. if you have a quantum pair, if one's positive, the other's negative. It's just it's a given. And so if you could get a quantum particle somewhere else, then you could in effect have, it could be in a black hole, it could be across the universe or whatever. You can affect, understand what's going on there because the opposite thing would happen here. Whoa. And so that's like our best bet, is to figure out how to throw something at some speed that is impossible at a thing and then find out through research that way. Again, this is unrelated, it just makes me think of like a book like The Three-Body Problem, where they figured out how to kind of do that, which is really cool. So anyway, yeah, it's a big bummer because I see these things and everyone's like, wow, the scientists are like, do you understand that's only one grain of the night sky that we're looking at? And there's hundreds of thousands of millions of stars and some of them could have life. And I'm like, we won't.
Yeah.
We're going to melt this place first. So.
Yeah, I feel like to your question, are you an a-hole for seeing it and then not really caring? No, because like I like dig this stuff and I still was like, well, it's just like it makes no difference to the day-to-day life where rights are being stripped away from people and we're murdering the earth and it doesn't seem to be any change in the future and nothing really matters. And so
and large scale, like it's even like if you were to get or even if you could just consider our day-to-day rights thing trivial, like if you could just throw that away, 400,000 years is like how many generations, you know, right. Is that it's like, right. And then is that's like about the time that humans have evolved.
Right.
And so like you got to bet on humans making it another that long to get there. Also, it's traveling away from us. So you'd also have to factor in a few extra years for that.
Sweet.
And then you'd have to get the message back. And then you'd have to start sending more people out again. And so it's just, it's impossible. Our nearest star is 4 light years away. And maybe someday that'll be close enough to go check out. But like, even then, you're just going to go check it out and be like, yep.
I guess this is where I die.
Yeah, right. And yeah. You're going to be like, well, they have their own Neptune. That's cool. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. Like this one rains lava.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, there's going to be some scientists who have worked very hard on this stuff,
yeah.
Physicists who have worked very hard on this stuff, who are going to be very like sad when I say it's basically irrelevant to us, you know, because it is. Now, what's not irrelevant and something that I kind of put a lot of hope in is that you've just actually destroyed for me is the fact that I thought that the asteroid belt was the reason that we've never been pelted by a massive asteroid on Earth, or why that doesn't happen. Like
the dinosaurs would like to disagree with
sure.
you on that.
So great. Now I've pissed off a bunch of physicists and dinosaurs. Nope, they're dead. the dinosaurs, not the physicists. no, but like I thought that the reason that it wasn't a much more common occurrence was because we had this big asteroid belt that was like being our big bro and like protecting all of these like massive asteroids from coming and
you
destroying
know what it
our
is.
Planet. What is it?
It's that Jupiter is the boss of the solar system, and it's keeping all the asteroids for the most part in that belt.
Oh.
It's gravity between Jupiter and the sun. All these trapped particles are stuck there. These rocks are stuck there. What it takes is like the exact wrong alignment between like Mars and Jupiter and Saturn to throw one off course, to bonk into another one, and have it go down, you know, down the gravity well towards the inner planets, and then one of them accidentally hits us, and then all of the dinosaurs are gone.
Yeah. So Jupiter to me just kind of feels like the Yoshi of the solar system that is going like grabbing onto these like eggs. He's like wow, and he's just running around. Jupiter's running around the solar system with these eggs trailing behind it.
Yeah, it seems about right.
Okay, cool. Now, I need to put these in the I'm not casually learning about quantum physics, so I will put these into Nintendo character terms for me.
I reapplied for college this week because I was like, I'm going to go back and get a physics degree. I'm going to do that. I'm going to like learn the math, and I'm going to go back and one class at a time over the next generation, I'm going to go back and get my physics degree just to do it, just to better understand space.
So question, is that how that works? Like, can you be like, look, I have no, now granted, I'll speak for myself, not for you, because I don't know your entire background, but like right now, if I was like, okay, I want to have a degree in physics, and I was like going to apply to go to college to get that degree in physics, like I know nothing already. I don't have like any sort of like prerequisite background that I feel like they'd be like, yeah, let's bring, but like I have money, so like would the school just be like, hey, that guy's willing to pay us to learn stuff here, like let's take him? Or like, do you have to like prove to them that I want this physics degree more than just out of my own personal vanity, or do they not care?
The reason for you wanting it is irrelevant. It's whether or not you have the grades to get into the school that's teaching it.
Okay.
And like, I think that like a competitive field is like MIT or whatever, like or MIS, sorry, MIT is the university, but MIS, like the computer information systems or computer engineering in general, is like a competitive field, specifically somewhere near me at like University of Washington. But if you hit up Western where you went and you're like, hey, I want to keep taking classes as a graduate, but not for a graduate degree, but I just want to keep doing things. I think they'll let you, for me, it was really easy. I like went onto the website and then I filled out a form and some guy called me and was like, really, you want to get back into school? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you left in good standing, so we'd love to have you back. Just finish your application and hit send. And I was like, okay. It was like that easy.
Wait, we thought you were done giving us money. You want to give us more money?
And so, since it's a public school, I went to the University of Arizona, which ironically has like an incredible space science program and like astrophysics and everything. They have all these like the they have all these Kepler Space Science Building is like a big thing there. Yeah, and I took one physics class and like was way too high for it and like couldn't like understand. And I like effectively squandered college when I could have done all these cool things that were good for my brain.
Well, I have a question though. Like, do you feel that this is a distance makes the heart grow fonder situation where, like, going back to school, I've always thought about this, like, homework, like, college seemed so hard back in the day, but when you look back on it as an adult with, like, real life responsibilities where everything, like, matters so much more, seemingly, you're like, oh, I would gladly take college back where all I had to do was, like, these assignments and read these books, but, like...
Not me.
Okay.
I'm not interested. I think school would be just as hard and tedious and like all the things I do in my life that I don't want to be doing for the most part are things that I get paid for.
Yeah. You know?
Like, yeah, I don't want my kid yelling at me on a Tuesday morning at 4:30 in the morning. Like that's not something I am like stoked about.
Yeah.
But, you know, having three finals on one day and having to plan out my study time for that as a person who's borderline ADHD, like it's not, that's way worse. It's way worse. Being in school is way worse. Now, taking one class at a time over a slow burn, I think will be a lot easier.
Nice.
And so I have some other classes to finish up first and then I'll to see if I can like get into the program, and it's very exciting. So
will you be able to figure out what root beer is while you're there?
Yeah, interesting. We Brandon holds up a glass. He's taking a sip out of it. It's a dark liquid with ice cubes. And I'm like, is that cola or is that iced coffee? Because the iced coffee to me was a more likely scenario as a coffee drinker yourself.
And, yeah.
And we always seem to be drinking coffee when we do this show because of the time and the life.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's root beer. And I was like, oh. And then your question was like, what even is root beer? And I was like, no idea. I'm guessing that it's like... a root?
Yeah, I think it's licorice. I think it's licorice root.
It's like, because it used to be called sarsaparilla, right? Like back in the Wild West, it was like, well, yeah, have because me a sarsaparilla.
Because
like, you would use that root.
Well, licorice isn't that sassafras, right? Like, isn't that...
No idea, dude.
Yeah, me either. Well, I Googled it just now because I want to know what root beer is. And this is Nerd Talk after all. So... root beer is, first of all, Wikipedia wants to make it clear, is not to be confused with beer. Okay?
Got it.
It's a sweet North American soft drink traditionally made using the root bark of the sassafras tree or the vine of Smilax ornata, which is known as sarsaparilla.
And also, so we're both right?
Also used to make a soft drink as the primary flavor. Root beer is typically, but not exclusively, non-alcoholic, caffeine-free, sweet, and carbonated. Like beer, usually thick with a foamy head. A well-known... We all, like, know what root beer is. I just wanted to know, like, what it...
Why is it called beer? It's like, so it's, like, brewed from a root, and then it's beer. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Since safrole, a key component of sassafras, was banned in the U.S. by the U.S. FDA in 1960 due to its carcinogenicity, which is an amazing word.
Yeah.
Most commercial root beers have been flavored using artificial sassafras flavoring, but few, aka like Hansen's, use a safrole-free sassafras extract. So
this is like wasabi versus dyed horseradish?
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't know that also, when you eat at an American sushi restaurant that is not of the highest caliber, you're getting horseradish served with a green dye in it that is molded into a lump, so you think that you're having wasabi. It also has wasabi flavoring, but like...
Yeah. That's... I kind of like horseradish, so I guess I'll take that. They both give me the burning nose tinglies, so I'll take that.
The best. Dude, I had the Din Tai Fung yesterday, and I put too much of the chili sauce in it, and I had the burny... tinglies later on in the day, so I don't think I can say that.
I'd take that though for another.
You take the burning for
absolutely. If I got to have the Din Tai Fung on the other end of it,
Oh my God, it's so incredible. Okay.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Okay, well, now on to the real business of this show. It's all about the necrophiliac insect world. A fungus is attacking the insect world by effectively turning flies into something like zombies. From Copenhagen University, a unique fungus survives by bewitching male flies into mating with dead female flies.
No.
The longer a female fly carcass with the fungus has lain and rotted, the greater the male's lust. So the longer that it's dead, the more it's like, I gotta f*** it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I gotta beep that. It's effectively a fungus that causes necrophilia. Yeah. And I'm just like, what the F, Mother Nature? Like, what is... Is this a simulation? Because that seems like the type of stuff that someone would just introduce just to make me giggle.
Yeah. It more seems like the writers are getting bored. You know, like the last few years, we've gotten murder hornets, we've gotten monkeypox, we've gotten all of these different diseases and afflictions that just seem worse and more bizarre. Trump. Like, yeah, Trump. This one seems like we've like completely jumped the shark with a, yeah, but the flies are now, you know, screwing their dead counterparts. And that sounds like, okay, like, okay, let's stop. You say, what the F, Mother Nature? Mother Nature's like, no, this is revenge, bitch. Like, this is what you get for all of the shit that you do to our, to the planet.
Sorry, there we go. Yeah, the I'm just thinking about, like, the, if there's a gay fly, does it not have to worry then?
It's like,
I don't know if flies can be gay. I just assume so, because they're like, usually it takes a species big, prolific enough to be able to,
yeah,
to have. Well, I'm not going to go into it.
I feel like flies are. I wonder if like the fly Ronald Reagan is very against. well, is very supportive of giving funding to the research of this zombie fungus. Where if it affected only the gay flies, they wouldn't bother.
All I'm saying is please, 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 please don't let this cross over into humans, because I might be hard up, but not enough to f*** a dead person.
Not without that fungus. I got athlete's foot? Nah, dude. I got the zombie fungus. What if Shaq started doing commercials for that?
Hey, tough actor to acting.
You try to f*** a dead body?
Don't f*** a dead body. Can't use any of this. That's all out. I was trying so hard today to not swear at all. I'm like, goddamn. Okay, so now you could give the gift to a space-loving friend or otherwise someone that you just want to tell them how much you think they suck. You can now name a black hole in someone's honor. And I read this, and I'm like, man, I am really torn about this, because I would love to have a black hole named after me. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm like learning about relativity and the quantum thing and then telling everyone about it, whether they want to hear it or not. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I get it after all. But for only $10, you can certainly send a message telling someone how much they suck. So
that's well, that kind of brings us to this week's question of the week. What would you want named after you after you pass away? And the reason that I ask that is because, like, this is meant to be an insult, right? Like, I'm going to name a black hole after Gregor because he sucks. And that's hilarious. But also, like, I think Gregor's also the kind of person where if I named a black hole after him, he'd be like, well, actually, cool. I kind of like that, right? Like, we don't know. Maybe black holes are actually awesome. Like, we go through one, and on the other side, it turns out it was like a wormhole to, I don't know, pick a thing that you like, Captain Crunch Land, where you get to go on the other side and just like, it's surrounded by Din Tai Fung that doesn't give you the spicy butt stuff. Okay. Like, that is like my version of heaven. So if you go through, like, oh, Gregor's named after the non-spicy butt stuff black hole. Awesome.
I'd like they put up a guardian statue of me outside up front. Like.
Well, I guess if you were going to have something named after you, and not out of spite, but out of, because, like, I think about like the guy McKinley, whoever the original McKinley was, who basically they named
Dylan McKinley. Pretty sure that was his name.
Yeah, Gareth McKinley. No, they named
Antonio McKinley.
They named Denali, the mountain in Alaska, after him. And then
it's William McKinley, the 25th president of the United States.
Yeah, shows. This is nerd talk, not history talk. They named that mountain after him, and then eventually Alaska was like, "Nah, we're gonna name that back to Denali," but not until like McKinley had become the pop culturally relevant name for that mountain. And it's like, hey, sucks to suck, dude. I'm sure there's something else named after you. You got to be president for a bit, so rub some salt on those dead old wounds of yours. But like, without renaming something that already exists, like Mount Rainier, or which was used to be Mount Tahoma, without renaming something that's going to be like, you know, appropriation, what would you like named after you? Park bench?
Well, there's a emergency exit at a music venue that's going to be named after me, but I had to buy that, right?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. This is something that doesn't resonate very well with me, because I don't really care about my legacy after the fact because it doesn't matter, and I only care about it in the moment. So I think I'd like to, like, you know, overthrow some sort of like cool building and then like overthrow T-Mobile Park and change it to Tyrannosaurus Stadium know, have it as I'm alive as like the evil person that runs that.
Jurassic Park, by the way.
Jurassic Park. Yeah. Thank you. The S from the Mariners and the Jurassic Park. So like, but what I would like is to give some artist a chance to do something badass. And now that the dog that I love is dead, it wouldn't be that one. But I want to have, like, I'm talking a serious, serious statue. Have you ever looked up the, what was the first guy in space? What was his name? The Russian guy?
Oh, I don't know. You'd know.
Man, that's really tough. That really bums me out. Sputnik was the first thing, and then they put up Gagarin, Yuri Gagarin?
Yeah.
I think was his name. They look up the statue that they built for him in Russia, and it's so freaking cool. Now, I don't need a statue in my honor. That's ridiculous. You have to be a real pretentious jerk for that.
What?
And if you are one of those people, isn't that badass?
Dude, it's like...
It looks 70 feet in the air on top of like a cool spike in the ground, and he looks like he's flying to the heavens like the Rocketeer. Like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's exactly what it is. It's just like this guy with his arms out, looking like a superhero, straight up fly. He looks like kind of like the Silver Surfer, but like in an awesome, you know, broad-shouldered six-pack way.
And so, like, that type of, or like when you're watching the Star Wars movies and they have, you know, like a 70-story tall statue that's on Jeddah or something like that before it gets nuked, like. Something like that. If someone could build me like a 10-story tall statue that's not me, but it's for me or something like that, that I could like look at and be like, that's badass.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate. Like, if you could have that type of influence or power, not to use it for other things, but just to get statue power, that would be badass.
Yeah. I think about, this will get a little sentimental for a second, but like, my
gay flies.
So the gay fly that I knew that passed away. No, my wife's grandpa died a while back, and he was a big University of Southern California USC fan, right? Yeah. And he was a huge supporter of them.
How old was he when he died?
He was like 90. I think. Yeah.
My dad was a big Notre Dame guy, and so he hated USC. Do these guys like actively root against one another? But he sounds like he's a little older than my dad. Yeah. So okay, go ahead.
So he was an amazing guy. Anyway, he was a huge supporter of USC, and when he passed away during the I wanted to call it the funeral after party, but whatever it's called, the wake or the
introducing
reception.
Skrillex.
Well, they brought in a section of the USC marching band it was indoors, so it was like just. Hella loud. Like they were playing tons of music that they would usually play at
all
games.
Slayer.
Like yeah, exactly. It was amazing, though. It was like really cool. It brought tears to my eyes because I was like, you know who would have loved this? I mean, this is cool for all of us, but you know who would have loved this? The grandpa who just died. It's like, why don't we do that kind of stuff for the people while they're still alive? Like, if only Yuri Gagarin could have seen that statue and like how important he was to the Russian people. Now, then you take it to like outside of ballparks and outside of soccer stadiums and things like that, where, you know, famous, very important people to certain teams will get statues outside the stadium, and they get to actually be at the unveiling. Think about how crazy that is to be Ken Griffey Jr. playing for the Seattle Mariners for as long as he did and being as important of a member of the team as he was, getting to stand outside the stadium that he didn't really play in, but to have a statue of him in like an iconic pose put up outside of that stadium for all time, or for as long as this earth exists, at least.
It only took like 6 weeks before someone stole the bat out of his hands.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just looking it up. That sculpture was completed in 1980 of Gagarin. I was like, could he have possibly been alive? But he died at 34 in 1968. Is killed with another pilot in the crash of a two-seater jet aircraft. So imagine that. You go to space and like a... you know, like effectively a metal trash can and make it back down, and then you die in a plane crash. Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, it was like a testing flight. Yeah. Like he was still doing test flights and stuff like that.
Of course. Yeah. He still had to have a purpose for his life, I'm sure. Right. The town of, I cannot pronounce, was renamed Gagarin. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Anytime you have a G, a Z, an H, and then a vowel, and then a T, Z, T, S, and K, like I'm out. Like I'm pretty good at pronouncing things, but that's it. So
anyway, I hope that you get a big cool statue of you sitting in front of a microphone, or I don't know. I'm not going to say the thing I was going to say.
What I wanted when my dog was still alive is I wanted like a giant, like 100 times statue of her to like be outside of the compound where we lived or something like that. So you walk up and there's just this big, toughy looking Boston Terrier that's like 100 times bigger than the normal one.
Yeah.
I think that'd be badass. Anyway, how about you?
I think statue, I'm like really stoked on the statue idea now.
Cool.
But like I'm trying to think of like I'd have to do something. Like the Yuri Gagarin thing is awesome because it's like he was a cosmonaut. He got to go to space. He got to like the statue of him is this artistic rendition of the thing that he did and was historically famous for, right? Like that I don't feel like I've done anything quite yet that like lends itself to a really cool artistic rendition.
It's you handing over a pair of keys to someone on their signing for their house.
Wow. Oh, cool. That guy. So I like the statue idea. Just have to get creative on exactly what was going to be statuesque. I feel like pick like the oldest living animal. Or an animal that is maybe expected to live for a very long time, and just name them Brandon.
Just like get a baby tortoise.
Yeah. And be like, this is Brandon the tortoise. And people are going to be like, why is he named Brandon? And I'd be like, because of some dude.
You just wait.
Yeah. And then the tortoise is like, can I sell you a house?
Could you speed it up?
No.
Okay, so nerds that are old enough will remember an iconic scene from the very first Jurassic Park movie. Are you familiar with this film, Brandon?
Yeah, I am.
Where the lawyer is in the middle of a monster attack, dinosaur attack. He's like sitting on the toilet doing his business in the outhouse. And he gets eaten by the T-Rex that like just bites the top off the outhouse and his whole body then just gulps him down. Mattel Creations San Diego Comic-Con exclusive action figure set will give you just that. Now you think it could have been the one where there's a goat standing there, and then the next thing you know, it's just like a leg on the ground or whatever.
Why is this outhouse named the Gregor Outhouse? Well.
Okay, so I got other toy stuff here.
Okay.
In other things that we didn't need, the New York Times is rolling out a board game version of the recently very popular Wordle, to which I say no.
Stop. Yeah. Like just let it be like let it be what it is.
So is this a strike while the iron is hot type thing? Or do you think it's a we overpaid for Wordle and we need to recoup some costs type situation?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely that thing because they, I played,
the ladder?
I did the Wordle thing for a while and I stopped eventually just because I had other things to do in the mornings instead of spending a lot of time getting frustrated doing that. And I think what I like realize is like after New York Times bought it, and to their credit, I mean, they have to do this, right? They started to like really try to get people to buy.
Do you get the emails?
What?
Do you get the emails that are like, have you done Wordle today?
Yeah,
and then I open
yeah.
it up and it's like, also save $49 if you sign up today. Yeah.
Right. And probably what happened is that they didn't start getting that subscription boost that they thought was going to happen because the reason people did it is because it was free, right? Like it's a free mindless thing to do.
Yeah.
And so they're definitely just trying to see if they can squeeze that word game for all that they can while they can, because ultimately like a Wordle board game is just Hangman. Right?
Just end the show right there. Just be done. I would, except for I have one more toy-related thing for you.
Yeah.
Toy maker Hasbro will put your face onto one of their Power Rangers action figures, or Black Panther, or Spider-Man, and for just $60. Go on.
I just read the rest of it you were going to say. I'm sorry.
That's good. It makes me happy that you laughed at that. It's the tough part about the whole thing is cutting the face off your head and then shrinking it is also pretty challenging.
So how about when you die,
you could
name my face Gregor.
I was thinking face tattoo. That'd be okay. And
oh,
like,
yeah, great. Yeah, I'll be like, I'll get the Post Malone, but I'll get Gregor right here.
Dude, I will not do the same for you, but thank you. we have video evidence of it. Now you're bound.
Yeah.
This is an audible Audible contract?
Anyway.
I think it's super weird to get your face put onto an action figure.
Sure.
And it looks to be the quality that, like, 10 years ago video games were when you tried to put your face onto a character. It's not great yet.
Yeah. It's actually surprising to me, because you'd think with all of the way that we can make things look so lifelike now, and the way that we can make things, but I guess for only $60, it makes sense that you're looking like the original Lara Croft from Tomb Raider.
The cool, like, triangle boobs. And
yeah. It's like, is it like an automated thing? So, like, can I go to, like, whatever the Hasbro website is and then just upload whatever picture I want? Because I'm going to upload the triangle boobs from Lara Croft original Tomb Raider and have those put on the face.
How come Gregor's character only has one eye?
Gross. But also, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
This week in Why We're All Effed, the United Nations released their findings that with the Earth's population growth slowing to about 1% annually, we should reach peak population in the year 2086 of just over 10 billion people. And I don't know if the Earth is more mad or sad finding that out. The Earth doesn't have feelings, so it doesn't actually matter. But oh boy! So
tell that to the zombie fly fungus that we got. Oh, I don't have feelings. How's zombie? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a gross sounding disease. How does fungus pox sound?
So we're at almost 8 billion people on the planet right now, and it's going to be in like the next 10 years that we'll get there. We're at like 7.8, I think. And so it's going to keep growing so rapidly, because the more people you have banging, the more it's going to go up. At one point, I heard the projection was like 8.5 to 9. And so this is a lot more than that. And I think about like how we fix a bunch of the problems. We're working on so many problems right now so that we can keep the Earth from becoming a hell like Venus, with its daily high temperatures ranging just shy of 900 degrees Fahrenheit, only to then add another couple billion people and have to kind of like start over again to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Like, not only do we have to solve the problems that we're seeing right now, but we also have to like plan for how they're going to get so much worse. And in just 60 years, that's like, I'll probably won't be alive, but like I could. So it could be in our lifetime that we reach that peak.
The black hole that's named after you is going to be watching in horror as the extra 2.2 billion people on the planet, even though there's going to be a probably like 10% reduction in actual land mass for those extra 2.2 billion people. Where are we going to put them? It's going to be like, yes, the answer is South Dakota.
That's too mean.
Sorry, North Dakota, my bad. Like, but in these, they have to go somewhere, right? Like, all of these people have to go somewhere. The problem is, as we know, is most of that population growth. Like, you look at what you'd call, what maybe used to be called like industrialized nations, like Germany, United States, like you actually have a population
deficit,
where the replacement, you know, isn't happening, where people aren't having enough kids. Yeah, Japan, people aren't having enough kids in order to maintain the populations there. But then you look in like developing countries that are actually going to be the most affected by things like climate change, where they're having they're not having too many kids. They're just having kids like they would, this is like, talk about solving for problems that don't exist yet. Like, these problems are already starting to show themselves, and we're still just trying to figure out how not to like catch the Earth on fire every single time we light a joint.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another roller coaster ride of a very important and heady show. It's time for What Did We Learn This Week? Brandon, what did you learn this week?
Let's see. What did I learn this week? I learned that I am absolutely wasting $60 on getting my face on the toy Spider-Man.
Please do. Let's both do it. I will definitely kick in $60 bucks to put me on Black Panther.
Yeah. Gregor, what did you learn this week?
Yeah, I learned that insect necrophilia is back after the cicadas the last summer. We got flies doing it? Damn, dude, if you think we're killing the insects are boning each other after death. You got anything else, Brandon? You learned anything else this week?
Yeah, to be honest, I actually learned a little bit about root beer.
Hey, we actually did learn something.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Do you have more root beer at your house? Or?
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah, I have a few more.
Final question. One word answer. What's your favorite brand of root beer?
Man, what if my favorite brand was two words? My favorite brand of root beer is... Oh, is it Dad's? Dad's. Dad's root beer. What about you?
Pass.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.